So some of the stuff that Abdul Al-Sayed is peddling, like Medicare for all, wealth distribution, free public education, abolishing ICE, all of these things, ending financial support for Israel. These are a lot of the democratic socialist mantras that we've seen talked about amongst many states in the country, and Colorado, New York, even among Graham Platner, who now has dropped out of that main Senate race, which is pretty interesting. Abdul Al-Sayed is doing well. He's polling well because of the work that he's done with young voters in particular. And there has been a shift amongst young voters over the last 10 to 15 years. I still maintain they're a pretty unreliable voting block.
You got to get them out.
But they do seem to be more engaged now than I remember being at that age.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I was like,
because my friends, man, when I was in high school and stuff, you know, and I was into civics and all of that, you know, and they were like, whatever, man.
I had other priorities in college. I was.
I bet you did.
I wasn't so engaged politically.
Okay.
But they seem to be more so now.
Yeah, I agree.
And so how does that impact his campaign? How does that change the formula for this race? Caitlin Buss, the assistant editorial page editor at the Detroit News, wrote about it and joins us this morning. Caitlin, good to have you back.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
What type of kind of guerrilla work has Al-Sayed done at the ground level to get him in position to where he's at today?
Well, you know, I think it's two things. So I think you're partially right. He's done the groundwork. You know, he ran for governor before. He actually didn't get any traction in that campaign, but obviously it gave him, you know, some on the ground information, some experience. He's had his public health experience before, but I think what's unique about him right now is he did that groundwork at a time where his ideas were far less popular, and now they've become what people are craving, right? And so especially the younger demographic we were talking about, I mean, that's what they want. And so he's met that moment with them. You know, I've had people say, oh, this position isn't socialist or this one isn't socialist. I think the young people are defining what they think democratic socialism is today. And it includes, you know, some of those issue areas I touched on.
One of the more interesting arguments in your piece is that today's younger voters aren't necessarily rejecting the system. They're extending it. Can you kind of unpack that idea?
Yeah. So, you know, for much of my life, and I'm a bit older than these younger voters, right? But for much of my life, that has been the experience as well. I mean, right after I was in college, you know, the financial bailout came, then the auto bailout, then you had, Bernie Sanders won in 2016 here. No one seemed to think that that was maybe a sign of things to come. And then you had Biden win in 2020. You had, Kamala lose in 2024 because of the uncommitted movement, which was really an expression of that progressive ideas coming out. I think that young people have seen government dictate markets. They've seen government be involved with industries that they favor. They've seen government use its power to manipulate the economy. And they're saying, if we can do that for these companies that they favor or whatever, why can't we do it for all of us? Give us free student, you know, get rid of our student debt, give us free health care and fix the housing problem with government power.
Hmm. How does Michigan factor into all of this as well? Because, you know, you hear the Bernie Sanders argument a lot, and I think it's a fair comparison. Although Bernie Sanders was running in a Democratic primary, how that would have worked, how that would have shaked out in an alternate universe if he was the candidate over Hillary, I don't know, right? I mean, Donald Trump still won the state, but Michigan is a different animal. It's not quite like New York or some of these other more solidly blue states. So how does that play in a general if Al-Sayed gets the nomination?
Yeah, and I think Michigan is hard because we have such differences between the urban and rural voters and kind of what they end up prioritizing, and suburbans are, you know, somewhere in the middle. But I think in Michigan, the other thing that's fueling his campaign is first his unique background and his name. You know, I've had national outlets ask, you know, is this going to be a problem for him? And I tend to say I think it's a benefit to him because of Michigan's diversity. And the Middle East problem, which touches the Jewish community, you know, all kinds of Middle Eastern communities, he's uniquely positioned to talk to people on that. And so that's a message I think that has resonated, at least in southeastern Michigan. How that plays out state, I think that's where a lot of the competition can come from.
And I'm wondering, too, do you think younger voters are making ideological choices or simply asking, you know, hey, if the government helped corporations, why can't they help just ordinary people? I mean, I'm thinking, like, how much of Abdul El-Sayed's appeal is about his policies and how much is it about his ability to connect with these younger voters who feel like they're left behind economically?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. His policies, you know, yeah, they're similar to, you know, a lot of, you know, far left candidates. They're nothing particularly special, but he does have a unique way of connecting. And he's run, you know, what I think he's tried to make an authentic campaign. Of course, I still have questions about some of the ways he's presented things or, you know, his policies in general, for sure. But he does try to connect, and he is constantly out there on video. And for anyone who knows, you know, the media landscape, that is where that is where it's all happening. So he's been really smart in that way.
Well, and he's a very engaging person. I mean, if you talk to him in person, there is a presence about him. And that goes a long way when you're out there talking to voters. I'm curious to know how younger voters are looking at him and Haley Stevens head to head. I mean, she is certainly more of the establishment, and it seems like they're pushing back against that.
Yeah, I think I wish I remembered off the top of my head now, but he is definitely leading with younger voters. Haley, it was interesting because when McMorrow was in the race, I think she was actually leading with the older, more established average Democratic voter. So Haley Stevens has had a hard time here the whole time, but she'll pick up, you know, people that McMorrow had in her camp. But I've also seen a lot of the McMorrow people saying they'll go to Abdul. So I think it will continue to be neck and neck. But I think we will see a split, you know, among age groups with how it ends up.
Fascinating stuff. Caitlin Buss, appreciate your piece. Appreciate the time this morning. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much.
Yeah. You got it.
Yeah.
But there is, again, I think it's worth noting that Michigan is different.
Totally.
What's happening in New York is not what's happening here.
Purple.
Absolutely.
You know?
And so you get to these places where they are blue Democratic strongholds.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is not Michigan.
No.
And even when you do finally have your candidates that are going to represent on the ballot, how does that play here? What's happening on the national level play into what the messages here,
yes,
amongst these candidates? That's the fascinating part to me.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool stuff. Coming up on the other side, we'll get you caught up on the headlines. 8 o'clock hour coming up. Tigers win yesterday. Justin Verlander,
yay,
going to the All-Star game.
And he's going.
We'll talk to Chris Castellani coming up on JR Morning.